Let's take our Bibles, turn to John chapter 8. We'll be in John chapter 8, and we'll be reading verses 12 through 20. The title of the message is, Jesus is the Light of the World. Every year after VBS, I like to kind of recap, come from that week and preach a sermon related to what VBS was about. And try to do it in a way that it's not like we're in the VBS classrooms, but it is kind of pointing toward that, but at the same time being for an audience of all ages. And so we see a very powerful passage in John chapter 8 and verses 12 through 20. And I love the book of John because I love the relationship between John and Jesus. And John is such a reliable source to trust that he wrote down what he saw Jesus do. And here he is writing as he sees Jesus and hears Jesus speaking. And he says this, and again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Let's pray. God, we ask you to open up our eyes, illuminate, God, our souls with your word today. Teach us things we previously didn't understand and give us the spirit to comprehend. We rely completely on your Spirit. We give you all the credit, all the glory. This is your word. God, open the ears of every person in this room to hear and receive what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the main thing we're going to focus on is that very first verse where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. We'll look at their response and Jesus' response to them, and it's kind of confusing, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but I'm just going to want you to see how they object, what's going on, kind of how we kind of may have those same kind of objections around us today to Jesus, to his word, and how worldly and how fleshly they are. John, the apostle, presents Jesus from the very beginning of the book as God. And in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, speaking of Jesus, the Word, he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We're in chapter 8 of John, in chapter 7. Jesus is attending what is called the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. Now, how many of you are familiar with what that feast is, the Feast of Tabernacles? Anybody? Got some? You've been reading through your Old Testament. You saw that they got to celebrate this feast. And on the last day of this feast, when they were likely doing a ritual to remember God providing water for Israel in the desert, after that, and then there's something else, and I'll share you in a minute. So after they're doing a remembrance of the water that God provided for them in the wilderness. If you remember, they were in the wilderness and they didn't have any water. And God gave them water out of a rock, an unlikely source. It says in verses 37 and 38 of John 7, I'm just giving you some context to where we are today. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." That's crazy, right? Big feast. Much of the nation is gathered. This guy just stands up in the middle of everybody, cries out and says, "If anyone thirsts, come to me to drink. And I'll give you your fill." Now, right after this, we see this Feast of Tabernacles, which is a commemoration, much like what we do on July the 4th, right? We commemorate the freedom of our country. We set off fireworks as a reminder of the war that was fought to free us from the tyranny of the King of England and all that stuff, right? This Feast of Tabernacles, this is why it's important to read the Old Testament so you can understand what Jesus is saying here and why. As they wandered around in the wilderness, if you remember, you have the main, their big tabernacle in the middle, and then around that, the camp will be set up, and they lived in tents, or tabernacles, or booths, whatever you want to call them. Just all around, scattered about, in each tribe, set up in a different place. And they're remembering this. That's why it was called the Feast of the Tabernacles, remembering God's provision and watching over them, remembering the water that He gave them from the rock, but also remembering, if you remember, they were led by something throughout those days in the wilderness, weren't they? A cloud by night and a pillar of fire by day. Light. I'm sorry. I did it backwards. I knew I was going to do that. I knew I was going to mess that up. All right, let's just see. A cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's what it was. So big light, right? And so they did this. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." And this emphasized God being a light to the children of Israel in the wilderness. And it says here that Jesus stood up, and at the very last verse, and you may go, why did they talk about where He was? Notice where He was. It says, He spoke these words in the treasury, as He taught in the temple. The treasury was located in what was known as the court of the women. So the temple mount had most holy place, a holy place, a court for the men, a court for the women, a court for the Gentiles. And the treasury is located there in what is known as the court of the women. And they would have a ceremony where they remembered the light that led them all those days in the wilderness. And they would light these candelabras. Now, I'm not going to tell you how I used to pronounce that before I was an educated man. But it took me a lot of embarrassing time to stand up here saying that wrong to get it right. But it's just this big thing that held a lot of candles. And they would light them. And there would be a huge amount of light. They'd do this in the evening time at night. And this is where Jesus is. That's the setting. I want you just need to picture that. Jesus is like our Christmas Eve service, right? We come in here, we light these candles. And imagine somebody from our church standing up in the middle of that, like Jesus stands up and says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That's the situation that happened. Jesus stands up. He always liked to do things so that people could visualize what he actually meant. And he stands up right there and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And when Jesus says this, he's using this physical reference so that they can see and understand a spiritual reality that may not be that easy for them to understand. And it's not just a metaphor. It's not just an analogy, because the reality is this. Jesus really is a light. He is the light. That's why it says in the scripture, when it says, and God said, let there be light, there was light. This is what Jesus does. Now just consider the sun as it rises so that you can understand what happens for us spiritually. If you've ever been out early in the morning, anybody's ever done that? Been out early? Our hunters and our fishermen, they know about this. Now, those of you that don't, you may not know what it's like to get up real early. Unless maybe you got to go on a trip. And you're sitting out there, and it's dark. And then all of a sudden, the first little glint of light, just a little, you start to see just a little. And it's at that point where everything is a big buck. Okay? Right? Like every limb is a big buck. Every leaf, every tree, that's when it happens right there. And then a little bit more light and a little bit more light. And before you know it, you can see everything. Everything with epic detail. Rocks, the colors of the trees, of the limbs, colors of the grass, the critters that walk about. You can see everything with great detail because of the light that shone on the world around you. And Jesus is a greater light than that. He created that light, and He's a spiritual light plus more for our souls to see. And this is why He says, I'm the light of the world. John teaches in his epistle, 1 John, that hatred for our brother is like not being able to see the light. Now I'm going somewhere with this. It's dangerous for those that may be sitting even in this room that are in spiritual darkness, that you just don't see. You know, I say this sometimes to people just messing around. You don't know what you don't know. And the reality is sometimes people can't see what they can't see. And they don't know they can't see it. That's a scary place to be. John says, whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now that's talking about hatred for our brother, but I just want you to note the condition of the one in darkness. The one in darkness does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And he may think that he knows where he's going. He may think that he's on the right track. He may have his own perception of who God is and what his responsibility is to that God. But if he's in the darkness, he can't see. Now, darkness is the absence of light, isn't it? Light is not the absence of darkness. Darkness cannot come in to where light is. But if there's darkness in a room, if you bring light in, what happens to the darkness? It disappears because the area has been illuminated. And I want us to think about this spiritually. Like you go into dark places. I remember one time, oftentimes when I hunt in my place in Liberty, I rarely take a flashlight. I just know where I'm going because usually I only need just like a little bit of light. But one day I remember hunting. I stayed in a little bit too long and I was off up in the woods, and it was one of those nights. It was cloudy. The moon wasn't, it was like, I guess it was one of those moons where the whole earth was kind of covering it up, whatever those are called. And you couldn't see anything. And I've been walking these woods for 20, 30 years, and I'm walking around thinking, I might not make it out here. It was that dark. And that's what it's like for people that don't know Christ. Their spiritual life is that dark. But when light comes in, it illuminates. Helps us to see what we couldn't previously see. We begin to see the beauty of the world around us that we otherwise would not see. And everything we can observe is because of the light that we're able to see it with. And Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will not walk in darkness. It's an incredible thing that people don't realize how spiritually dark they really are. And this is a lesson for us. If you're a believer in here and God has given you spiritual eyes to see, and you're so offended with those people out there that have other ways of thinking, that believe other things, and you're just so mad and so angry with them, how dare they think this? Do you know why they think that? Because they can't see. They can't see. And you're called to be the light to help them see. So these people are not our enemies. I say this all the time. They're not our enemies. They're our what? Do you remember? They're our mission. Right? They're not our enemies. They're our mission. They're the ones that we're called to shine the light to. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's an outrageous statement. Completely outrageous. Unless it is true. If it's true, it's amazing. Now the reason it's outrageous is because when Jesus says this, he is claiming to be the Messiah. In the Old Testament, there were verses that spoke of the coming Messiah being a light. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, speaking of the coming Messiah, it says, I will make you as a light for the nations. In Isaiah 42, verses 5 and 7, thus says God, the Lord who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. And if you remember, when we were studying Luke, the very first thing that Jesus does in his ministry, when he goes to Nazareth, they read this passage and he says, today, in your hearing, these words have been fulfilled. Came to open up the eyes of the blind, release people from their dungeons. So when he says this, he's claiming to be the Messiah. Not only is he claiming to be the Messiah, he's claiming to be God. We see that in Exodus 13, verses 21, where he was the light that led them by night. In Genesis 1, he says, let there be light, and there was light. He is light. We see that in Daniel 2, verses 22. It says, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Paul says in 1 Timothy that he dwells in inapproachable light. When he says, I am the light of the world, he's saying, I am the divine one. I'm the one that gives light to all things. And they're outraged by this. And they begin to object to what he is saying. And notice what, after he says, I'm the light of the world, they begin to balk at this. And I want you to see that people today balk in a very similar way. They began to question his authenticity, his validity. You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. So that's their argument. If it's just coming from him, it's not enough. Meaning one person's testimony is not enough according to their law. And Jesus answers, if it's only me, then that's one thing, even though my testimony is true. But you don't know, essentially he says, you don't know what you're talking about. Because, in verse 15, you judge according to the flesh. So he's trying to tell them that they see things the wrong way. They can't see the deep spiritual things. He goes on in 16 and 17 and 18 to talk about how his father has bore witness of him. And he's speaking about how God has bore witness through his word. And then they begin to question, where is your father? And he says to them, and this is amazing. He says to Judaists, people that believed supposedly in the one true God. I want you to think about this for a second, how they must have received this. These are people that did everything around that religion. And they believed that they knew God. You hear what I'm saying? They had the scriptures, those prophets, the law, they had teachers of it. They went to the temple every day, to the synagogues, and they thought they knew God. And when they spoke to Jesus, they said, "Who is your father?" And this is what he said. Now, I want you to, hopefully you can make the connection here, okay? They said, "Where's your father? Where's your father?" He said, "You know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also." So a lot of people ask these questions. Well, were the Jews in that day that worshiped God, were they saved? They didn't know God. They didn't know God. That's what Jesus said. And the reason that I point this out, it's so important for us to understand, is because you can sit in church your whole life. We can sit in church our whole life and go through the motions and do this. We talked about the church at Laodicea last week. You can sit here and never know God. We got to make sure that's not true, right? That's why I pray for the Spirit to open up our eyes so that we can see. Now, consider this same conversation like it was happening today. People question the validity of the Bible all the time. And one of the reasons they do that is because they say, well, where's the proof outside of the Bible? The Bible says to us, it's true. It's breathed out by God. It's living. It's active. It's all of these things. But that's not enough to convince me that it's true. Do you understand that when people do that, they're doing the exact same thing that the people did in Jesus' day? And it doesn't matter if Jesus appeared right before them and said, "Hey, this is my word, believe it." They still wouldn't believe because they don't want to believe. And you go, "No, that wouldn't happen." Well, it happened here. And they had all of this. They read all of this. They had Jesus standing right there in front of them, and they still didn't believe. And he stands up and he says, "I am the light of the world." Even today, we have the Word of God. Jesus has come. He sent witnesses out, other people, to testify of the things that are true about him. And still, oftentimes, people won't believe. So we need his light. And the reason we need this light is because what the scriptures say in 2 Corinthians, it says, in their case, speaking of those who don't know God, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now hear me on this. The people that don't know God, they're blinded. And it's our job to help them see the beauty of the gospel. And it's powerful. And it breaks through that darkness over and over and over again. And how many of you in here would say, "Yep, It broke through for me. It broke through for me. I didn't believe, but now I believe. I didn't see that this was true, and now I do. The gospel penetrated into my heart, and it changed me in who I was. That's the power of God's Word. There are no shenanigans that we can put on up here. No plays we can do, no fun things we can do that will come close to the power that the gospel has when it's presented to a person. He says, I'm the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me. Now let's just think about that. When he says that, this is a Greek word that means like when a soldier follows his captain. Or when a slave listens to his master. Or when a person follows wise counsel. Or when someone obeys and follows the law. Or when a student follows his teacher's teachings. Whoever follows me, submits to me, hears me, understands me, believes what I say, goes where I go, teaches what I teach. Whoever follows me, he says, that person will not walk in darkness. They won't be blind to the truth anymore. They'll know when they're wrong. They'll want to do what is right. And they'll see things more clearly. And the reason being, he says, whoever follows me, they will not walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. The light of life. The light of God is your life. Sin leads to death. The light of Christ leads to life. And we need it if we're going to live. This is why at the very end of days it says there will be no need for the sun, because the Father and the Lamb will light everything up for us. And we'll see in ways that we never even thought were possible. I want you to understand that this morning. Did you know there are ways of seeing that you have not yet experienced, that one day you will be able to, because Jesus is the light of the world. In the same way that water of life will be in us, remember he says, whoever drinks of the water that I give him, they'll never be thirsty again. That light that's within us gives us life. The results of Jesus being the light of the world, let me share two passages with you. It says it will open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. They may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified in faith. In 2 Corinthians 4, it says, for God who says, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, you could take that last part of that and you can meditate on that all day. Do you understand what that means? To give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's saying when you look upon Jesus, I'm not talking about physically, he's not here physically in his flesh, but when you learn about him in his word, you begin to see him in his word, and you begin to interact with him with your spirit and his spirit, the face of Christ will show you the glory of God. That's the promise. We all want to see that. Everybody's looking for special revelation, special this. If you look to who Christ is in the Word, you will see everything you need to know about who God is and what He's like. He reveals truth. He brings freedom. He causes growth. And then we are called to reflect that. Remember what Daniel said? Those that turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars in heaven forever. Jesus has come as a light. If we go back to that verse in John 1, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light can be very repulsive, can it? Like when you wake up in the morning, and like if you've got like a dark room, I'm not saying like the sun's already woke you up, right? But you wake up in the morning, like you're about to wake up and someone flicks on the light really quick. How many of you like that? Like that is, nobody likes that, right? It's also like the cockroaches, okay? All right, you got cockroaches in a room and it's dark and you flick on the light, what happens? They're gone, right? They don't like it. The cockroaches don't like the light. It's repulsive to them. But we're not cockroaches, right? We don't want to be that. We want to receive the light. We want to have God's light open up our eyes so that we can enjoy things. Like when you're asleep, you're like, oh, I'm sleepy. I'm so tired. I don't want to open my eyes. But if you don't open your eyes, you can't enjoy your day. You can't behold the beauties of God while you're sitting there with your eyes closed. Notice the characteristics of those that walk in darkness. They did not believe what Jesus said. They judged outwardly, right? According to the flesh. They didn't know God the Father. Later on it says they didn't understand who Jesus was. They didn't know what the truth is. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. They didn't believe in His eternal existence as God. As you continue in chapter 8, you can see this. He would have to say to them, before Abraham was, I am. They were totally shocked at this. They were confused by this. Jesus has said, this is the judgment. And I'm going to close with this. I'm almost done. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to light lest his works should be exposed. So on one hand, the people of this world are our mission. On the other hand, there are some that no matter what you say, they're not going to listen. And this is why. Light comes into the world, but people love darkness more than light because their works are evil. And it's, we just go back to the sleeping thing, right? When you're tired in the morning, you love the dark. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? I'm not saying you're a sinner because you like it being dark in the morning. Don't get me wrong. You like the darkness because it's comfortable, right? You're relaxed. It's so pleasurable just sitting there in the dark and just, it's nice, right? But those that are in the world, it says they love their wickedness like that. And that's why they don't want to open their eyes. They don't want to see that what they do is wicked, that it's wrong. And so what do? They rejoice in it. They make movies about it. They sing songs about it. They write books about it. They picket about it. They revel in it. They want everybody else to be a part of it. Because they love their wickedness. This is what he says. This is what Jesus says. The people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And they didn't want these things exposed. But the characteristics of those that walked with Jesus, they believed. They let their light shine in the world around them. First in their soul and then in the world around them. They were not afraid to have their sins revealed and say, yes, I am wrong. I am a sinner before you, God. That's the first step you got to take when you come to God, is the humble heart. And say, I want to be exposed, God, before you. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not who I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to agree with you. Even though I probably can't live up to it, I'm going to agree with you. The big problem that the people of Israel had, that they should have, when God gave them the law, they should have said, we can't do this. But they said, we'll follow everything you say. And they just They cast judgment on themselves that day. The person says, I fail. That's what they saw. That's when the light comes in. Here's the reality of who Jesus is, and I'll close. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. Jesus Christ is God, and He is the light of God, the radiance, the shining forth of who God is for us to see. So I'm encouraging you today, if you have never come to faith in Jesus Christ, you can do that today. Jesus came and He lived a perfect life. God became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived a life that you are incapable of living. Then He paid for your sins on the cross in your place, a sacrifice to pay for what you had done wrong to appease the wrath of God that was on your account. He was buried, He was put into a grave, but death could not hold Him. And He rose from the grave in hope and in victory, assuring you of the promise of eternal life to all who are united to Him in repentance and faith, who come to Him and follow Him. So that's the call today. And if you are a believer and you're like, man, I believe these things. God shined His light in me and I'm just not reflecting it like I should. It's a great opportunity for you to respond as well. And ask God, even where you're sitting right now, ask God, say, God, will You help me to reflect You, to shine my light, shine Jesus' light, okay? And just look up here and read this, shine Jesus' light. Is that what it says? Shine Jesus' light. Say, Lord, help me to shine Your light every day. Because I'm ill-prepared to do it on my own, so I need Your help. So that's, hey, we can all respond, right? We can all respond today. I'm going to say a prayer, and our team's going to come up and lead us in a hymn of response. Time for you to pray according to what God has done in your life. Let God do His work in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Your mercy, Your grace is overflowing. We don't deserve the good that You give us, Lord. We're thankful for the light that You've shined in us, and we're so excited to get to know You more every day, God, and get to spend eternity with You, our future. God, being with You in heaven, the things that You have in store for us, an abundant life, things that we cannot even imagine. I pray Your blessings on every person in this room. God, have mercy. Pour out Your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.